was provided by Dove Phoebe, located at 2727 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. Open daily from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., Dove Phoebe serves handmade cornmeal crust pizza. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good evening. You're listening to Trans Positive here on KBOO Community Radio. And we are especially honored to have State Representative Rob Nose with us today. Rob Nose represents District 42 at the Oregon State House and is up for reelection. And following FCC parity laws, we did have Rob's challenger, Paige Christman, on 2 weeks ago. And so this show is dedicated to Representative Nose to talk about his district and the issues that he represents. So welcome, Representative Nose.
Emma, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Let's start with just some personal stuff first. Can you give us a little bit about your background?
Sure.
Who are you?
So I'm 52 years old. I moved to Oregon in 1992 after having come out as a gay man in 1991 in Columbus, Ohio. And that's a totally different story for a different time to talk about that. And I was doing student activism in Ohio when I was a little bit younger in college. I was the student body vice president, and one of my constitutional responsibilities was to monitor the state legislature in Ohio for tuition and financial aid. And I couldn't do it 3 hours away from the Capitol with no car in Ohio. So I spent 3 years trying to get a student association going in the state of Ohio so that we could effectively lobby the governor and the legislature for tuition and financial aid and other issues of concern to youth and college. And then the job doing the exact same thing opened up in Oregon in 1992. And our national encouraged me to apply. And I was like, well, they're not going to hire a lobbyist from Ohio. That's really dumb. I don't know anybody here. But in Ohio, we didn't have any power, and so I think in the interview I came across as scrappy. And in this state, the Student Association had been around since the 1970s, but ballot measure 5 had passed. And as you know, we have a very robust initiative system here. It's pretty easy to get things on the ballot via the initiative process relative to other states. And it was wreaking havoc on school budgets and on community colleges and universities. And so I think that scrappy interview in 1992 is what got me out here. So that's how I started working. And then I showed up in May, and then in July of that year, the Oregon Citizens Alliance qualified one of the most heinous anti-gay initiatives in the United States to be on the ballot. They were, in 1992, they had succeeded in putting a measure on the ballot that would have criminalized being gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender in this state.
Yeah, we did a show about this just about a month ago. It was with the December 1st writers, and it was a show about coming out during the AIDS crisis. And that ballot measure you're talking about was actually one of the things that we talked about. And I would love to talk to you a little bit later on about your sexual orientation, because
sure,
that's totally relevant to this
right on
block, which is the QueerBOO programming block. But thank you.
Yeah. So anyhow, here I am. A brand new job, moved to a new state, I didn't know anybody, barely out, and I was like, oh my God, I've moved to a state where I might be illegal. Mm-hmm. And so in addition
I totally know that feeling.
So in addition to trying to figure out how to lobby the legislature for tax reform so we could lower tuition and make financial aid available, I spent a lot of time that summer and fall working with the student governments and queer student organizations across the state to be a part of the No on Nine campaign.
Oh, that's great. Wow. Well, welcome to Oregon.
Yeah, it was really intense. I always joke with the folks at Basic Rights Oregon, which formed out of one of the second ballot measure campaigns that came, because they kept trying. They lost in 1992. They've lost every time, actually, but they kept trying. That I never wanted to be a professional gay. I never wanted that to sort of be my job. But, you know, when you're in an advocacy role and you're a gay person, you're sometimes forced into that situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so at some point you decided you wanted to represent your district.
I stopped being a professional student activist in 1996. I worked for two legislative sessions for the Oregon Student Association. And at that point, it was like time to do something else. And so I took sort of entry-level political work with the public sector labor movement in 1996. And it was a job that I had that I was, you know, candidly, like, too young to have. I was not the right person to coordinate all these big dogs and elephants. And I kept going to my supervisor saying, you know, I'm not succeeding at this. It's not working. These people don't want to be coordinated by me. And I was able to parlay that into a temporary job working to collect signatures to raise the minimum wage. We did that by ballot in 1996. And then I sort of parlayed that into a union rep job with SEIU 503. And then I had 8 years at SEIU, 4 at Local 503 and 4 at Local 49, which is their private sector healthcare and Justice for Janitors local. And then I kind of burned out a little bit on Big Purple. It's a wonderful organization and union, but I had a job that was very demanding, and I was probably a little too inexperienced to have. And so then I went to Oregon Nurses Association in 2004, working as a labor rep, helping nurses bargain their contracts against the hospitals that where we have contracts and representation. And I've done that ever since. And so...
Do you still represent the Oregon?
I do, though I'm on a leave of absence temporarily. But I've worked at Oregon Nurses Association since 2004. And the labor movement in this state watched the women's movement do this thing for Democratic women, where it's called Emerge. I don't know if you've heard of it. Some of your listeners may have heard of it. A lot of women candidates have gone through this program where they teach you about how to improve your public speaking, how to get endorsements.
Oh, yeah, like Emily's List.
That's right. Mm-hmm. How to raise money, how to go door-to-door, how to find a list of voters.
Or like Indivisible, too.
Yes. So all the things that are helpful to know if you want to run for office. And the union movement watched Emerge do this and said, you know, we could do this, too, and teach union people to run for office. So I was in the first... labor candidate school that was conducted in, I think it was either 2012 or 2013, I can't remember. And the class was so good, I remember thinking, there's no way I'm going to run for office. This is really hard. But then my representative, Jules Bailey, decided to run for county commissioner. He'd served 3 terms in the legislature, and I got convinced to give it a try. And so I ran for the first time in 2013, 2014.
Oh, did you win that?
Yes. So it's really hard to be an incumbent. And so I went in that race. There were 6 of us that were running, and it was an open seat. And so, yeah, I won that primary. And in this area of the world where KBOO is based, actually, I represent the building. You know, a Republican's probably not going to win.
Nobody lives here, but...
There's not very many Republicans that live in Southeast Portland.
Oh, I mean, nobody lives at KBOO. So.
Yeah. Sorry. You know, there's like less than... there's about 2,100 Republicans that live in Southeast Portland. So if you win the primary, you pretty much win the election.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wow. So I've been serving since 2014.
Oh, well, that's great. And so your experience as a labor organizer was what led you to run for office then?
I think it was the combination of getting around politics when I was a very young person, you know, lobbying the legislature and trying to get students and young people involved in politics. And then, and then being in the labor movement, I didn't have a political job at Oregon Nurses Association. I worked with the nurses in the hospitals to, you know, get a contract and get, you know, justice from the employer and deal with their concerns with management when they would come up. But I was just always around it. And I stayed pretty involved with Basic Rights Oregon, too, over the years. Eventually, I got on their PAC board. I think I started serving on that board maybe in 2008 because I remember... we endorsed somebody in the primary, actually, for the seat that I have now. Back in 2008, it was an open seat. And I've just always felt like, you know, as a gay person, politics is important. Laws shape our experience and our culture. And I just felt like I needed to be involved in that organization and do what I could to put goodness out into the world.
Basic Rights Oregon is a great organization. We've had them on... And hi, this is Emma. We are live in studio. I'm here with Go and with Christine.
Hey.
Howdy.
How's it going? So we're just here. We're taking a little break in the show because we want to talk to you about why we love KBOO. And hopefully we can encourage you to give us a call. It's our special winter pledge drive. Today is Giving Tuesday. So today's a good day to give. And KBOO is a great resource. It's a radio station that like gives you news and information from perspectives you just can't hear anywhere. And tonight we're really lucky we've got on State Representative Rob Nose. He came into studio and talked about his term in office and his upcoming race. And, you know, this is really great. And he talked about being openly gay and what it's like serving as a queer representative. And it's just so great having that kind of representation. And it's also great having those kind of voices here. So we really would like you to give us a call right now. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. Because we know that you love queer programming. If you're listening right now, you've been listening for a long time, you know that this is the hour that we focus on LGBTQ programming. And if you really care about this, give us a call and make a donation. And while we value all contributions, the most convenient and powerful way to support KBOO is by being a monthly donor. Over 40% of our members give monthly, and the average donation is about $12 a month. So,
you know what I love the most about Rob Nose is that he said he thought he couldn't run when it was after he did that class. And then he took a shot. And in the first run around, he made it happen. And if you've never donated before, this is the perfect time for you to take your shot. 1-877-500-5266. Just give us a call, any number, anytime. 1-877-500-5266.
You can also go to kboo.com/FM and become a member there.
KBOO is a news station that we count on community support. The way that we're run is we don't get big donation. We don't get big money from corporations. We don't get big advertising revenue. We get lots of little donations. And that's the base of our support is the monthly donors. We have like almost 4,000 or 5,000 people who give monthly or who donate throughout the year. And you are the people who make KBOO happen. So
when you support us, you're supporting your local voices. And with your membership to KBOO, you'll be giving the mic and your valuable time to the people who you want to hear most. We provide a place that's rare and beautiful for all those beautiful, diverse voices out there that you too can even be a part of the KBOO community and have your own programming. So 1-877-500-5266. Give today, give now, give for good. Thank you from KBOO.com.
Our representatives from Basic Rights Oregon so many times on
yes.
the show. And they just do such important work.
Yeah.
Recently, they've been working on this. They recently did a press conference during the Supreme Court case. The funeral home case.
Yep.
They had trans folks who came to speak about how they had been discriminated against in their jobs, including here in Oregon. And how discrimination against people based on their gender identity is a very real thing, and it affects so many people. It's
yes,
part of why
unfortunately it does.
Transgender folks have low rates of employment, and often this leads to a lot of other problems.
Right.
So
no, I mean, we talk about what do human beings need to be successful? They need relationship with others. They need meaning, and work often provides a lot of meaning. And they need a place to live. They need shelter. Those are the basic things that everybody needs to be a successful person. And when you struggle to have any of those things, it's going to just be harder to succeed and be a happy individual who can contribute to society. And that's a lot of what I feel like I try to really focus on in the legislature, whether it's rights for our community, or rights for workers, or trying to stand up for the environment or young people. You know, those are the things I try to work on when I'm in Salem.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is Transpositive. And this evening we're talking with State Representative Rob Nose. Rob is the representative from House District 42 and is up for re-election. And in order to ensure FCC equal parity, we are interviewing Representative Nose today. 2 weeks ago, we interviewed his challenger, Paige Christman from the Democratic Socialist of America. So again, we are so happy to have you here, Representative Nose. So let's talk about some of your work in Salem. The 2000, this most recent session, what were some of your accomplishments? What were some of your challenges this legislative session?
So let's start with the accomplishments. One of the bills that I got to work on was a bicycle safety bill. There was a person in Bend, unfortunately, that was killed on a bicycle crossing an intersection. I don't remember if it was a car or a truck turned into the right-of-way and crashed into that person and killed him. And they sued, and the case went to court, and this is where being a lawyer sometimes comes in really handy in the legislature. I'm not a lawyer, but I can always call one. And because the law didn't clearly articulate that the bicycle right-of-way goes through the intersection, the person was found not guilty of murder. Mm-hmm. So we passed, it was not a hard bill to pass, but we did an update to the law that said, no, if there's a bicycle if there's a bike path, that bike lane goes through the intersection. So that was one bill that I got passed. Some of your listeners might know that there is a school for deaf and hard of hearing children over on Holgate in the district in Tucker Maxon. And Tucker Maxon is a school that's been around for a long, long time. It was built, like, it started in the 1940s, and their heating system died. And
that's a great school, by the way.
It is a great school. And they take students who don't have hearing challenges as well. It's a totally integrative school. And they needed $500,000 to get a new heating system. And I remember when they called me and approached me to try to get an appropriation to do that. And I said, yes, of course. And then I walked out of the building going, oh my gosh, how am I going to actually do this? I just promised these people I'd find them $500,000 for a heating system. I'd never engaged in the budget process in the legislature 6 years there, and I didn't know how to do that. But I started to figure it out, and that's a totally different topic for another show about how to pass a bill. But we were able to secure that. I think another thing that I'm really proud of is the passage of the Student Success Act. So if any of your listeners, you know...
Yeah, that was a big deal.
...have raised children or participated...
$2 billion, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Or been in the Oregon school system, they know, back to Measure 5, when I said I first got out here, we've been in the hunt of trying to secure additional revenue for schools since 1990. And I felt like my political life got to come full circle when I got to vote on the House for the Student Success Act to raise $1 billion a year, $2 billion for the biennium, and additional new business taxes statewide so that we could improve funding for K-12 education. That was probably one of my biggest accomplishments. I wasn't the only one that worked on that, of course. You know, as I said, almost 29 years in the making, but that was certainly one of my biggest accomplishments. Some of your listeners will also be excited to know about a bill that we passed in the LGBTQ space, Senate Bill 52. And this bill was so important, it got a nickname. It's called Addie's Act. And some of your listeners may know about a trans student, a young woman, who unfortunately was suffering a lot of mental health challenges despite a group of peers that were supportive and a family that was very supportive. And she committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And her mom and her dad, as parents sometimes do, started going through things that were left behind, and they saw all these, I don't know if they were emails or papers or things that were written that clearly a teacher would have seen and didn't really get acted on in the best way possible. And maybe if the teacher had intervened or if the school had known, might have said, hey, you seem to be really dealing with a lot here. Maybe you should get some counseling or get some help. Are you having suicidal thoughts? And so the bill, Senate Bill 52, which passed overwhelmingly in the state legislature, says that schools have to have plans for helping their young people if they're having suicidal ideation to, you know, deal with that, basically, to make counseling and services available and to put it on teachers and administrators and staff. If they find out, if they know that a young person is maybe struggling with suicide, to say something and to intervene. Hmm. So you asked about disappointments. Yeah, that was a wonderful act. The parents were really amazing putting their pain and their grief out there to try to get that bill passed.
Hey, we just wanted to butt in real quick here and want to say good evening to you. You are listening to KBOO, and it's our holiday membership drive. We are a featured nonprofit in the Willamette Week Give Guide, and the theme this year is Do Good. We want to support doing good radio. Pick up the phone right now if you could and dial 1-877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member. I'm Christine, and I'm a volunteer here at KBOO. I am joined with Emma, and we're excited to be on Transpositive's show to share with you the importance of supporting great programming like this.
You want to feel aware and prepared to face a rapidly changing world. KBOO's public affairs and talk programs emphasize controversial and neglected perspectives on important local, national, and international issues. We would encourage you to give us a call tonight at 877-500-5266 and make a pledge. You can make a pledge in any amount. But, you know, if you could make a pledge, a really good measure, like for me, that I always think of is if you could give like an hour's wage, like 1 hour's wage of what you earn every month, if you could pledge that to KBOO, that pledge would make such a great, great difference. Like for me, I make $17 an hour now. So I would like, you know, if you gave that amount of money every month, that would be, that's a huge amount. That's like almost $200. And, you know, we have a budget and we have these bills and we have to get our needs, we have to get everything paid for. And the way that we pay for things is, you know, through your donations. So that's why we have to do these holiday drives every now and then. And it's great. It's a great chance for us to come and talk to you and tell us that we value you, the listener. I mean, we value you so much and we really want you to participate in KBOO. And one of the ways, one of the many ways you can participate is by becoming a donor. So give us a call at 877-500-5266. Give us a call. We do Transpositive on the first and third Tuesdays of every month. Preference is on the second and fourth. And this is a time for doing queer programming, LGBTQ programming. And KBOO is the only radio station in Portland that does dedicated queer programming every week. We do queer programming, we do POC-centered programming, we do Native programming, we do programming that focuses on Pacific Islanders. KBOO is a real treasure. So give us a call, 877-500-5266, and make a donation tonight. Thank you for listening.
Yes. So you asked about disappointments, and I think probably the most high-profile disappointment that I could talk about is the failure to pass House Bill 2020. Mm-hmm. And if your listeners don't know what that is, that was the climate change bill.
Yes.
So we have been in the hunt of trying to do our part in this state around climate action and carbon use reduction. California has a cap and invest system. And we were very keen on adopting something similar, in part because it would mean we could team up with California and their program, other states on the East Coast that are looking at this since we can't get our federal government to do anything in this space, and then provinces in Canada that are also looking at this approach. And it's also really important that a state like ours pass something, because I think probably most of your listeners know or understand California is sort of its own thing. It's like the fifth or seventh largest economy, depending on, you know, which website you go to. And it's could almost be its own country, self-contained. That's not really a thing for Oregon. We really do rely on commerce with other states, with other countries. And so setting up something that deals with carbon reduction in a state like ours, where we're reliant on trade, in interaction with other economies in our country and across the planet, is critical to seeing if we can do something that works. And climate activists across the United States are hoping that if Oregon can pass something, then that means maybe Colorado can, or New Mexico can, or some of the states where the politics is more conservative than ours. And hopefully, finally, you know, the states are often called the laboratory of democracy. Get something going. So after 6 hours of debate, we were able to pass House Bill 2020 in my chamber. But unfortunately, because Oregon has this very high bar, or maybe low bar is the better word for it, for quorum in the legislature. And if your listeners don't know, quorum is a very fancy word for saying how many elected officials have to be in the meeting before we can conduct business. Mm-hmm. And in this state, you have to have 40 members of the House and 20 members of the Senate present in the chamber before business can be conducted, before bills can be voted on. And that is one of the highest quorum bars in the United States. Most legislative chambers in the United States only require a simple majority of those serving to be present to conduct business.
Remind me, in the Senate, there were 11 senators.
There's 12 Republicans and 18 Democrats, so, and all 12 of the Republicans walked out.
66%, okay.
Yep. Excuse me. And so the rural Republican senators really hate this climate change bill, and they have a lot of reasons for it. I mean, I wouldn't want to speak for them. They have, I think, some reasons that don't make any sense, in my opinion, and then others based on the culture and the economy of those areas. You can at least understand their point of view. Okay, maybe they don't like the bill and they don't want to vote for it, or they have concerns. Fair enough. But they hated it so much that they walked off the job and prevented our ability from getting anything done. And that was really the only other time that that has happened, that long-standing politicians could remember, is when the House Democrats did it, and I think in 2001, to prevent the Republicans back then, who were in charge of the legislature, from gerrymandering the districts so much that it would be impossible for Democrats to win in many of the House districts in the state. So that's the last time that this was done. They walked off a little over a week. And basically, the Senate president had to sort of compromise and say, okay, we will abandon trying to pass the climate change bill in exchange for you coming back. And then we were able to pass a lot of other things literally in the last 3 days of the legislature. Mm-hmm. But yep. So that's a big disappointment.
It was. I don't think anyone has forgotten it.
I hope not.
In my district, I live in Oregon City, and you know, the dividing line on that bill was just really crazy. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of, like, even though I'm a Green, but I'm friends with a lot of Democrats, and a lot of my Democrats were talking about what was going on. And then I also know a lot of folks who are on the other side of the aisle, and they all felt so justified in what was happening in Clackamas County, and it really concerned me. It really concerns me. I think it's reflective of kind of what's happening nationally.
Yes. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about that bill and what it was going to do. Part of what the approach the bill takes is we're going to put basically you make it more expensive to use carbon. And then if you're not able to sort of retrofit or reduce your carbon emissions, you pay a fee, a tax, all right? And then the money that's raised from that is then invested in subsidies for people who have to drive a diesel engine, or maybe make it possible for them to get a cleaner car or transition to electric, or outright gas subsidies in rural areas where, you know, there isn't access to public transportation. And yeah, you probably do have to drive to the grocery store. But it's also a 100-page bill with 102 amendments, you know, radically transforming what we need to do in this state to be able to transition to a green economy. And, you know, that's a tough thing to do. And so, yeah, it was very controversial, and unfortunately it didn't pass. We are trying very hard to figure out if we can pass something like that in the short session that's coming up in February of 2020. Scientists just came out. I think something like 11,000 scientists across the globe just signed a paper or a declaration, I'm not sure exactly, that saying, you know, we have basically 11 years to try to turn this around, or we do irreparable harm to our environment and maybe not be able to actually mitigate or stop or reverse some of the changes that we're experiencing because of the carbon we're putting into the atmosphere. So my speaker is very committed to trying to figure out how to do this in 2020, and I think the Senate president is too, but, you know, the makeup of the legislature has not changed, and the quorum rule is still there. It's constitutional. We have to ask the voters to change it, actually, if we want to do something different. So I just ask your listeners to stay tuned. We're trying to figure this out, but we don't have the politics of it worked out entirely just yet.
So I have a question about the mechanics of the House and the... Hello, you. We are back in Pledge Central here at KBOO. It is our special holiday drive show. Today is Giving Tuesday, so we'd encourage you to give us a call and give. Give to KBOO at 877-500-5266. This is a really great opportunity tonight to hear from Rob Noss. He's a State House Representative, District 42. And we had Rob on this week because we were doing equal time. Last episode of Transpositive, we had on Paige Kreisman, who is a transgender woman. And so to meet our FCC requirements, we invited Rob Noss on, and he came on, and he's sharing great information that, like, information that you need to know, stuff that you need to hear that you're not going to hear on Fox News, I guarantee it. You're only going to hear it here on KBOO. And so we really hope that you'll give us a call, because this station is such a precious gem. It's like, it's so rare to have something like this. And we keep it going through your donations. Could you tell us about that, Christine?
Hey, yeah. So while we value all our contributions, the most convenient and powerful way to support KBOO is by becoming a monthly donor. Over 40% of our members give monthly and on average donate $11.50 a month. Since this provides the most stable funding for the station, the more money that we raise this way means less interrupted programming for you. The other benefit is that you will never have to wonder if your membership is current, since it will automatically renew till you tell us to stop. Become a monthly donor today by calling 1-877-500-5266. Of course, all forms of contributions are welcome and can be tax deductible. Already donating via the EFT? Call now to increase your deduction by any amount you want.
And so also, Christine, if people wanted to give, there's different gift levels. And one of them, I think there you have some information about one right there. What is that?
Yeah, so we just got this in. It's a KBOO Black Beanie, now available for a pledge of $60 or just $5 a month. One size fits most.
Wow, $5 a month. That's a great deal. That's like, that's almost, nowadays in Portland, that's almost the price of a cup of coffee. So just for the price of, like, you know, your latte or a cappuccino, you can get a KBOO Black Beanie, and you can also support a great radio station that gives you news and information you really need to know. So give us a call. Our number is 877-500-5266. This is our special holiday drive. So today's Giving Tuesday. It's a great day to give. You can also give online at kboo.fm. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you again really soon. And the Senate, regarding that bill, why in your body was it not, why did the Republicans not choose this path?
To walk out?
Yeah.
It's an excellent question.
In the Senate they did.
I'm not totally certain of that, to be honest with you. But one compliment that the Speaker of the House received on the floor from the Minority Leader, Carl Wilson, and Carl Wilson is a very experienced politician. He's very conservative. He represents Grants Pass. But he always said that he knew where he stood with Speaker Kotek and that she kept her word to him. Mm-hmm. And they talked at least once a week on a variety of things, I imagine. I wasn't part of those conversations. But he said that he didn't agree with Tina very often, but he could work with Speaker Kotek. And I think that relationship was a good one. You know, Senator Courtney is a very experienced politician as well, and I'm not sure why things broke down with him and Herman Barsinger, but maybe with a different minority leader in the Senate and maybe, you know, a different makeup over there, there's two new senators. Maybe we'll have a different chance this time.
I feel like what happened, I mean, the kind of dialogue I heard from people on the other side and from folks on the side of the fence I'm more supportive of, is that one of the things that's happening right now in our country, and unfortunately it's happening here in Oregon a little bit too, is that it used to be that we all kind of understood that we were in this together. And politics is a little bit of give and take. Like, you may not like what the other side is doing, but if they have the majority and they've gotten the votes, then they have a right to try to get
right,
what they need.
Right, and we
need
should them. Compromise with them to get
exactly.
what we need rather than just storm out of here.
And it kind of goes back and forth. Like, that's kind of how the process works. And now it seems like there's more of this, it's either has to be my way or I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to do whatever I can to completely, like, prevent you from doing anything.
Our politics has been polarizing a lot. It really started to get bad, unfortunately, I think, when President Obama got elected. Mitch McConnell made it very clear once the Senate went Republican at the congressional level that they were going to do everything in their power to make it so that Obama didn't have any political victories of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, then we are dealing with the consequences of that kind of winner-take-all politics.
Do you think that it's the long shadow of racism kind of?
Oh, without question. Mm-hmm. That's just one of the many problems that mm-hmm. our country is facing, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk about the paid family leave?
I'd be happy to talk about the paid family leave.
Please.
So when the legislature convened, the governor, the Senate president, and the Speaker of the House were united on four topics. And I hope I can remember what they were now that I say it out loud. It was probably a big tax increase, doing something about carbon, getting the Oregon Health Plan funded, and I suddenly can't remember what the fourth thing was. We didn't get the carbon bill passed. I know we did the other three. But one of the things that many of us progressive Democrats wanted included, we wanted a fifth thing, was we wanted paid family medical leave in this state. And the governor, the Senate president, and the Speaker of the House were a little bit dubious about whether or not we would be able to pass that, in part because it requires new taxes and fees, in part because of the complexity to set it up, and in part because of the opposition to that from the business community. Somehow, in the process of all of this negotiation and sausage making that occurred in this last session, the business community came around, and we were able to pass paid family leave in this state. We're taking a few years to implement it, in part because there's a lot of regulation that we need to get right, and we also need to give time for the payroll tax that's going to be implemented to collect enough money so that at the point that people actually want to start taking paid family leave, there's actually money in the bank account to cover the cost of the paid leave. We have implemented one of the most awesome paid leave systems once it gets going in the United States. If you are a low-wage worker, and I forget how low wage is defined, but if you're a low-wage worker, we're going to subsidize your wages 100%. Many other paid family leave programs in the United States are privately run by companies or smaller governments, often only subsidize the wages that you're losing at, you know, 75%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a low-wage worker, we're going to subsidize it at 100%. And because of the advocacy of the trans community and Basic Rights Oregon and a lot of others, we have a very liberal definition of what is family. We're using the word blood or affinity because we know that many people in our community, in the gay, the LGBTQ plus community, don't have sort of legal familiar bonds, and I think that a way that a lot of our listeners probably grew up knowing them or understanding them. And so we have, you know, basically, if you can demonstrate that you've got a familiar relationship with somebody, maybe because you're living together, and yeah, you're really good friends, you're not family by blood, but you've been together with each other, and living together has been the support system so that you can afford a home or a nice apartment, you're going to be able to take paid family leave if you've got to help your friend have time off from work to get better.
Sure. I mean, in my world, we call that family.
Yes.
Because for a lot of folks who are trans, especially folks who are trans, but also folks who are queer and non-binary, our families of origin are often like not at all part of our lives.
So that was a tough thing. You know, as you might imagine, HR professionals in the business community are a little anxious about that. Like, will it be gamed and used and too many people taking leave and all stuff.
All but these transgender people.
That's right. Okay. But we figured it out, Emma. We got it through, and we have one of the most comprehensive paid family leave laws in the United States. I think there's only 7 states that do this. So it'll come online officially in 2023.
That's great. That's really good news.
So that was very exciting to be able to pass that.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the PERS vote, because we took a vote to rein in the cost of the pension system a little bit, I believe that created the political space to be able to pass paid family leave.
So another issue that I think is on the minds of a lot of folks who are in the trans, non-binary community, that maybe you can address or you can't address is the state of OHP funding.
Okay.
Because for, especially for folks who are trans, many of them, the only access that they have to the life-saving treatments that they need, including access to hormones, access to counseling, access to medical care.
Is the Oregon Health Plan.
Yeah, is the Oregon Health Plan. And right now, you know, both nationally, the Affordable Care Act is still under siege.
You know,
it's actually probably going to be heading to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately.
Not for a couple of years. We think it's going to make its way through. There's like a case out of Texas or whatnot.
Right.
So stay tuned.
The results of that hearing have not been released, but, it's obviously being pigeonholed and targeted for like the most conservative district.
Yes, that's a strategy. Like, absolutely.
The ACA will get the ruling that they want. But here in Oregon, where is OHP funding right now? I think, people are a little nervous about where their health care is right now.
So we live in a state that has tried to implement the Affordable Health Care Act, if I can use this adjective, in the most awesome way possible. And frankly, thanks to the advocacy of Basic Rights Oregon in the last decade, we've made sure that a lot of things are covered under the Oregon Health Plan that benefit the trans community. I think I'm less worried about that Supreme Court case in Oregon, and I'm more worried about our ability to continue to cover the cost of the plan. So this gets a little wonky, so just bear with me. Mm-hmm. Under the Affordable Health Care Act, one of the things that we did is that we made the Oregon Health Plan more available to more folks. So it used to be you just had to be really poor to be able to get on the Oregon Health Plan. And now you only have to be sort of poor. We basically created a whole other category of eligibility, and that allowed...
And we are back.
Hey, this is Christine. You are listening to KBOO, and it's our holiday membership drive. We are a featured nonprofit and Willamette Week gift guide, and the theme this year is Do Good. We want to support doing good radio. Pick up the phone right now and dial 1-877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member. Again, this is Christine, and I'm a volunteer here at KBOO. I'm joined with Emma. We are excited to be on Trans Positive Show to share with you the importance of supporting great programming like this. And we have this deal right now where if you pledge $60 or $5 a month, you get a KBOO black beanie.
That's a great deal. So we've been listening tonight to an interview with Rob Noss. Rob is a State House representative from District 42. And we're just about to get into the segment of the interview where Rob talks about how his vision for how we're going to secure OHP funding. This is the kind of information that you'd love to hear. a lot of us, you know, are a lot of us depend on OHP for our healthcare. And, you know, we would like to know what's going on, what's happening in the state legislature. And here's a chance for somebody coming directly out of the queer community, speaking to the queer community about an issue that's vitally important to all of us, which is how are we going to cover our needs, our healthcare needs. And the reason that you're hearing this is because you're listening to KBOO. KBOO is a station that values this community and wants to make sure that you are represented. So give us a call at 877-500-5266, or if you can, donate online at kboo.fm and give what you can. I always try to encourage people, if they can, to give, you know, give maybe what you, if you're a wage worker, if you actually earn a living, maybe give like 1 hour wage for every month. So if you make $15 an hour, which is just barely a living wage, you know, then give $15 a month. And that comes out to, what, $180 a month, which is $180 a year, which is great. All of those donations really add up, and they make a huge difference. With 4,000 or 5,000 people donating every year to KBOO, this is how we support ourselves and bring you this really important programming that you just aren't going to hear anywhere else. So if you can, give us a call tonight, 877-500-5266, or donate online at kboo.fm. And, you know, if you can, please give. If you've already given once, give again, because today's Giving Tuesday, so why not give?
I want to say 400,000 additional Oregonians to get health insurance. Mm-hmm. And so part of doing that, though, meant that we have to find ways to pay for it.
Right.
Okay, so you set me up really nicely. I don't know if you plan to do this or not, but in the November of this year, there's going to be a ballot measure that the legislature referred that will raise the cigarette tax an additional $2 a pack. Now, I realize that's very expensive, and maybe you have some of your listeners that are smokers and go, whoa, you should stop smoking. It's bad for you. But raising that cigarette tax, $2 a pack, will give us, we believe, the additional funding that we need to continue to operate the Oregon Health Plan and make the final down payment we need to make on the expansion of the Affordable Health Care Act and be able to operate Oregon Health Plan basically in the way that we have. So that is critical. We passed a bill this last session.
Is that a ballot measure?
It's a ballot measure. Mm-hmm. So we were not able to
probably got support.
So tax increases are always controversial, and the tobacco lobby and the tobacco industry will definitely come into Oregon.
But this is Oregon. So.
We hope this tobacco taxes have failed in other states, so we'll see. But hopefully we're able to make it very clear that the Oregon Health Plan, for it to be able to operate and continue insuring 1 million Oregonians, 1 out of 4 Oregonians gets the Oregon Health Plan, that tobacco tax increase, I think it raises like between $300 and $400 million. And that's what we need to be able to continue funding the Oregon Health Plan the way that we have in the state, the final down payment we need to make to be able to implement Obamacare in the most awesome way possible.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really interesting.
So please vote yes. I don't remember what that... we'll get a ballot number, of course, closer to the November election next year. But that will be one of the things that's on the ballot that the legislature referred for all of us to vote on. We couldn't pass it outright, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're doing a ballot measure asking the voters to approve it.
Mm-hmm. Another issue that is of concern to folks in the trans and non-binary community is acts of violence perpetrated against folks who are trans and non-binary. In the last 3 months, there have been 4 really visible, very violent attacks
yes.
on trans folks in this community. What are you doing, or what are folks doing at the State House to ensure that trans and non-binary folks' safety is protected by Oregon by the law, and also practically?
One of the bills that we just passed that's coming on board, Senate Bill 577 for your listeners, is a bill that updated our hate and bias crime laws. And this bill also added gender identity as a protected class for the first time. So this is especially important for a lot of your listeners because, as you said, we know that folks in the trans community experience bias-related crimes unfortunately more frequently than other members of the population. So this is a law that's just coming on board. It'll strengthen the criminal penalties and make it easier for prosecutors to fight back and use the legal system when people harm members of our community. So that's something that we did this last legislative session.
Great, thank you. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. We're talking today with State Representative Rob Nose. Rob is Oregon State House Representative for District 42. And 2 weeks ago, we had on his challenger, Paige Kreisman from the Democratic Socialists of America, who is a transgender woman. And so following FCC equity laws this week, we are having State Representative Nose on. Thank you so much. We've only got about 10 minutes left, actually less than that, Representative Nose. So I'd like to, first of all, ask you, is there anything that you haven't talked about in this interview
there,
that you'd like
there
to
There is,
to?
Actually. Okay, if you'd give me the chance. Oh, right on. I'd like to let your listeners know about a bill that I worked on that probably didn't get a lot of fanfare, but I think it's probably really important for your community. And I did it in my second term. It's a House Bill 2673, and it was the first standalone trans positive bill that the Oregon legislature ever took up. And what we did is we made it so that if you want to change your identity documents, your driver's license, your birth certificate, prior to this law, if I'm remembering correctly, you basically had to go to a courthouse.
I remember exactly how it happens because it's the process I used.
Okay, so you had to go to a courthouse. Yes. You had to declare you wanted to change your gender. You had to do it very publicly. You remember better than I do. And so we worked with folks at the Oregon Health Authority and the governor's office to understand the process, and we were basically able to change it to one that's administrative. So now you go to the Oregon Health Authority Office of Vital Records, you fill out a form. I can't remember what the cost is. Maybe it's $100, and that covers the salary of the person that administers the program, mm-hmm. okay? And that's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bill that I carried in the 2017 session that I was very proud to work with the trans community on. And then this last session, a bill I worked on with Representative Power, we updated the statutes so not so long ago we talked about Measure 9 and some of the things we had outdated terminology talking about transvestism and just terms that we don't use anymore to describe the trans community in statute. And so we worked with a group of lawyers.
Not unless you're going to the Rocky Horror Picture
Yes,
show.
Yes, right, exactly, which is great to go to. Clinton Street, also in my district. So I worked with Representative Power and some lawyers in the trans community to do House Bill 2589, where we basically did an update and used the terminology that the community prefers when we reference the transgender community in the statutes. It was not a controversial bill to pass, but it was certainly something that needed to be done. We kind of tried to call it, you know, like a housekeeping bill. But it was certainly very emotional for some people, right? You know, and
oh, sure, yeah.
So, but anyhow, that was a bill
it's very meaningful to be, like, referred to and spoken to in a way that
you
like, imparts
be.
Dignity
That's right.
and respect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that was a bill that we passed this last session as well. And then I mentioned Addie's Act. We also had the first ever panel before the healthcare committee of folks that identify as intersex, and they came and spoke about the challenges that they experience in the healthcare community or receiving care. And that was a panel that I hope will lead to more discussion about intersex issues and maybe bring legislation forward that helps deal with some of the challenges that they find.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we have folks who have been programmers and hosts down here at KBOO who are big advocates may have actually been involved in that.
Yeah, it was very brave. There's a lot of misunderstanding about intersex and what that means.
One of the first ones people have is that they think that it's just automatically like tagged on to LGBTQ issues, and it's not necessarily at all. And it's hard just having that conversation with people, explaining to them, no, this is intersex issues, and it's not necessarily people in that community do not necessarily want to be tagged on to like LGBTQ folks.
Yeah.
So
I think when the dust settles and we look back at the 2019 legislative session, in spite the inability to pass a climate change bill, we got a lot of really amazing things accomplished, and I'm very proud of the service that I was able to give to the residents of Southeast and the little sliver of Northeast Portland that I I represent here in Southeast and Northeast Portland. And, you know, I'm running again. This isn't a campaign speech. But I'll just tell your listeners that the job is actually very hard. It's not easy. And having some experience now that I've been doing this for 6 years is useful down there in terms of trying to be effective as a legislator. And I'm excited. We'll see if I get reelected to continue to lift up the things that your listeners care about. I'm always going to have a connection to this community, both being as a gay man and then just my children have tons of friends that are transgender and non-binary, and the youth seem to get all this stuff way more than us sort of old adults seem to understand. And I'm hopeful that, especially living in Oregon, no matter what awfulness we get from the Trump administration,
I will not say that name.
we live in a place where we have a governor who's a strong advocate for the things for our community, and we have myself and two other LGBT identified folks in the legislature and a ton of allies.
Yeah. Well, State Representative Nose, thank you so much for joining us today. If there is a way that people could contact you if they have questions,
sure.
Is there an email
yes.
or a website to
so
go to?
So the easiest, I'm not going to read off my email. It's the most ridiculously long email. To what I would just say to your listeners is just Google Rob Nose. My last name is spelled N-O-S-S-E. It's like Nose with an extra S. And you'll see a variety of ways to figure out how to contact me. You can click on any website or link, and then there'll be a way to email me about anything that's on your mind. And I try really hard to respond. If you're a constituent, for sure, I'm going to respond to your email or your phone call. But if there are folks out there in other parts of the state that are listening, if you reference the KBOO show, I'll do my best I can to respond to your question or your concern or your idea. Thanks for having me on your show, and I hope your listeners learned a few things. And again, I encourage them to reach out and be involved in the political process.
Thank you. Best of luck to you. And that was State Representative Rob Nose. That was thank you so much to State Rep Nose for coming on. And you are listening to the Holiday Pledge Drive here at KBOO. This is Giving Tuesday. So if you can, give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 and give. We love it when people call us, especially during Pledge Drive season. And it looks like we've gotten a few people who have called in and have actually made donations. Haven't they? Go. Would you like to read some of those? Okay, not right now. Anyways, so we've gotten quite a few donations, and it's been really great having people call this hour. If you can't keep up the calls, again, our number is 877-500-5266. I've been here with Christine, and it's been a real pleasure hosting this segment of the Pledge Drive. And I just want to tell you that I really love KBOO. I mean, KBOO means so much to me, especially during these really dark times, during these times that are really bleak, when like there's so much negative news happening now. Nationally, and we've got this gem of a radio station here that gets by with your support. And so, you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about why you love KBOO? Go.
We have.
Great, go for it.
I want to give a great thank you to Barbara from Portland for donating tonight, taking that plunge to make that pledge. Thank you, KBOO. What can I say? Love is an ode to the music we are walking with our souls. Anyway, KBOO is your station. It's my station. It's our station. How many stations can you say that about? So if you believe or feel the same way I do, please give a call at 1-877-500-5266.
That's great. Thank you. And Christine, would you like to kind of close out our pledge drive here? Is there anything you'd like to share?
Sure. So limited time offer. We have a black beanie for a pledge of $60 or $5 a month.
$5 a month, you get a beanie, guys. It's getting cold out there. You got to cover your tips.
So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Thank you so much for listening tonight. And up next is Calculated Conversations.
Go.
Yay. Till I lose God, I'm gonna swim from the chandelier.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Brunchbox with two locations, on the west side in downtown Portland at 620 Southwest 9th Avenue and on the east side at 676 Southeast Morrison Street. Brunchbox serves up a menu full of burgers and sandwiches every day from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Lunch was provided by Little River Cafe, located in downtown Portland at 0315 Southwest Montgomery Street. Serving food made from fresh ingredients, Little River Cafe is open for breakfast and brunch daily from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And dinner was provided by Dove Phoebe, located at 2727 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. Open daily from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., Dove Phoebe serves handmade cornmeal crust pizza. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month, we'll show the documentary film The Cave on Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. The Cave is a story of female doctors saving lives in a secret underground hospital in Syria. The film follows the women as they contend with daily bombardments, chronic supply shortages, and the ever-present threat of chemical attacks. It paints a stirring portrait of courage, resilience, and female solidarity. Again, that's The Cave on Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time.